5:20, and this is the KDLL Evening News for Monday, November 10th, on 91.9 FM, Kenai Soldotna listener-supported public radio for the Central Kenai Peninsula. I'm Ashlyn O'Hara. Thanks for tuning in. Coming up, tuition will increase at University of Alaska schools next year. But first, fishing jobs in Alaska are down for the fifth year in a row. That's according to new economic data from the State Department of Labor for the year 2024. Seafood harvesting jobs dropped about 7.5% last year, about the same as the year before. That brings the industry to its lowest job count since records began in 2001. The report's author, Joshua Warren, says there are many reasons for the drop.
There's increased costs, competition in international markets, dropping prices. A lot of different things can cause someone to choose to fish or not to fish.
Warren says climate change is another major factor, bringing unpredictable runs and fishery closures for different species and regions of the state. The report doesn't reflect this year's tariffs, but notes the U.S. has been losing ground in global seafood markets for years. Warren says the numbers fit a decade-long trend. Seafood harvesting jobs have fallen by more than a third since 2014. The pandemic caused the biggest losses, but unlike most Alaska industries, the seafood sector hasn't bounced back. He says crab was the only bright spot that seemed to have rebounded from recent closures, but that all other species are still seeing declines. And while he's not optimistic that jobs will rebound to previous levels, he says the industry overall is pretty stable.
I don't think I'm terribly worried there won't be fishing in the future. I think it's pretty resilient, and we're just seeing a lot of negative factors right at the moment.
The very end of the year did see modest job growth, but Warren says it's too soon to tell if that trend continued into the current year. The Army Corps of Engineers has demolished the building that housed an old nuclear power plant on Fort Greely as part of the decommissioning process for the facility. As KUAC's Tim Ellis reports, they're now preparing to remove highly radioactive materials from the site.
Corps of Engineers officials say the agency and its contractors have made steady progress this year in decommissioning the power plant. The agency official heading up the project says that includes demolition of structures and construction of a waste storage area and an all-weather enclosure over the site, so work can continue over the winter in preparation of next year's tasks.
We are getting ready to transition into the more complex decommissioning efforts at the site.
Brenda Barber is the National Program Manager for the Corps' Deactivated Nuclear Power Plant Program. She gave a progress report on the project during two meetings held this week on Fort Greely and in Delta Junction. She said the first objective for the coming year will be to dismantle the spent fuel pit where used fuel rods were temporarily stored. The fuel was removed after the facility was shut down, along with other highly radioactive materials.
So there is no fuel left at the site. We just want to continue to reiterate that. What we do have left are radioactive components.
The Corps next plans to dismantle the inner vapor container, or VC, so workers can remove reactor components and the material that encases them. The VC is a large vertical tank-like structure where gaseous byproducts were captured and stored while the plant was in operation from 1962 to 1972. After it was deactivated, the Army stored the components and radioactive materials inside. Barber says those tasks will require a higher level of safety precautions to protect workers from exposure to radioactivity and other hazardous materials like ammonia. She says workers will be required to wear personal protective equipment, or PPE, and self-contained breathing apparatus.
In order to protect our crew, we'll be using a combination of Tyvek suits and appropriate PPE to properly protect our employees. Because this puts our employees at a higher risk.
A Corps of Engineers spokesperson declined requests for interviews on Tuesday because of limitations resulting from the ongoing government shutdown. The spokesperson added that the shutdown has not, however, delayed the project, and he said removal of material and components from the site will continue into 2027. The project is scheduled to be completed in late 2029. In Delta Junction, I'm Tim Ellis.
And finally, the University of Alaska Board of Regents approved increasing tuition across the board by 4% next year, despite an initial proposal of only 3%. KTOO's Jamie Deep has more.
The university will increase tuition for the entire system for a second year in a row, and it's higher than what its administrators recommended. They recommended a 3% increase, but Student Regent Fernando Escobar proposed the additional increase to fund mental health initiatives. He says mental health services have not been funded for 5 years and suggested the increase as another way for the university to meet the need.
I'm optimistic this legislative session, but I have to be realistic, and I think this may be our best approach for right now in order to support student needs in the system.
The board is requesting $965,000 in mental health services across the three campuses for the next fiscal year. State funding for the university goes through the Alaska legislature for approval. UA President Pat Pitney says the 4% increase is beyond what she considers to be a modest increase. She says they recommended the 3% increase as a way to avoid a large increase while factoring in rising costs.
It also balances that there are anticipated fee increases in housing and dining services as we're working on our auxiliary enterprises.
Regent Karen Perdue says she wants to see a way for progress to be made on providing mental health support to students.
One way to think about this is it could be the student's skin in the game to go ahead and continue to advocate at the legislature for some portion of the mental health there would be progress made finally on this issue.
Peyton Callahan is the chair of the Coalition of Student Leaders, a group that represents students across the university system. She testified that many students already oppose any increase and that the 4% figure might blindside students.
I don't know that that aligns with trying to keep retention, because I don't know that students frankly can afford that increase considering the current economic state.
Union of Students University of Alaska Anchorage, the student government for the Anchorage campus, passed a resolution last month requesting the board increase the tuition by just 2% instead. But not every incoming student will see higher tuition next year. Out-of-state undergraduate students at the University of Alaska Southeast will pay in-state tuition for the first time. That's still a lower rate than what they currently pay. But UAS Chancellor Aparna Palmer says the additional increase might affect the campus's ability to recruit Alaskans.
My sense is that we would still be a great deal in terms of out-of-state students, but in terms of in-state students, we may not get that buy-in if we go to 4%.
Regents approved the increase unanimously with one member absent. The new tuition rates will go into effect next fall. In Juneau, I'm Jamie Deep.
And that'll be all for tonight's KDLL Evening News. We had help from Theo Greenlee in Unalaska, Tim Ellis in Delta Junction, and Jamie Deep in Juneau. You can re-listen to this newscast and find our other stories online at kdll.org. I'm Ashlyn O'Hara. Have a great night.